Chef and restaurateur David Chang seems to be everywhere these days. He's in South Korea as NBC's food and culture expert for the Olympics. His restaurant empire, Momofuku, is constantly expanding, and now he has a new Netflix show. In Ugly Delicious, Chang explores how some of his favorite foods are made all over the world. He also gets lessons in the cultural significance and history of, for example, tacos.
Taco arabe, most people would compare it to like shawarma. They're doing it off the spit. And what you're going to see looks kind of like pita bread, but it's a completely different bread. It's called pan arabe. So it's going to be a little bit thinner than a pita. And that all comes from the Lebanese migration that came to Puebla, central Mexico, from the 1920s onward.
Ugly Delicious drops on Netflix tomorrow, and David Chang joins us now. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
And what do you mean by ugly delicious, first of all? What does that term mean for you?
Well, it's a term that I started using for like Instagram to hashtags, and also just the way I would joke with my cooks and myself about how the food I actually really love eating is sometimes the most, I won't say ugly, it's like just not pretty. It's just... The most delicious stuff is like a bowl of curry on rice. And that's not going to inspire a cookbook or a cover of a Bon Appetit magazine. And all of this food is sometimes not being told. And it's not being appreciated enough in the world we live in right now. So we just thought like it was a joke that turned into something that Morgan Neville of Tremolo, when we started doing this TV show, thought it might be a good name for the show. Because we're talking about things that aren't getting the attention that you normally deserve.
So most of the episodes here dive deep into a particular kind of food. Pizza is one episode, tacos, fried chicken. How did you decide which foods to focus on this documentary?
It was hard to figure out what we were even going to do. So we narrowed it down to just themes. And then those themes became, wait, why don't we just put a, you know, why don't we just talk about specific foods and go down that rabbit hole and how that intersects with culture. And something like pizza or fried chicken or the idea of barbecue. So that was it. It was like, okay, let's talk about the stories that sometimes are told, but we're going to create conversations in ways that maybe people really want to talk about pizza or fried chicken.
Well, in the pizza episode, you talked to a number of chefs, including Wolfgang Puck. Here's a clip.
Let's do our smoked salmon pizza.
I want to see this.
Yeah.
You think we've lost craftsmanship, though, well, for sacrificing creativity?
Creativity is good by somebody who is a good craftsman. If you know the basics, if you know your profession really well, then you can navigate and try other things.
You also speak with Chef Mark Iacono of the Brooklyn pizza restaurant Lucali. I've been there. It is amazing. But you must have learned a lot from talking to all these chefs about how they make their food.
Absolutely. And most importantly, getting to taste it all. And Mark's one of my favorite chefs. There's just something romantic about watching Mark make pizza because he uses a wine bottle instead of a traditional rolling pin. And there's something romantic about that restaurant. And even though he's just making pizzas, it's one of my favorite spots to go. But you get to hear their philosophy and you get to – it's not just a profile. And we're not even really talking about Mark. We're trying to get his understanding of what it's like to be an Italian American very quickly and inheriting the sort of the, I don't want to say the burden, but the responsibility of carrying on that tradition that came with all the Italian immigrants to New York City.
And then the next thing you know, you're off to Japan where you have a very different pizza.
Right. Because we're trying to define what pizza is, how it came from, where do people think is the best pizza, and to sort of presuppose sometimes comical things. And maybe we don't get to prove it as a thesis, but I genuinely believe that when I go to Tokyo, I believe that the best pizza in the world for me, I can't speak for anyone else, is in Tokyo. And creating those conversations, or sometimes maybe the best pizza in the world for me is in New Haven, which again, all of these things are talked about, written about, but trying to present it and cobble it together in a way that maybe the audience might not have heard.
But no matter where you go for your pizza, there is still something fundamentally pizza about it.
Absolutely. Even Domino's is still pizza to many, many people.
Why do you think, as you've done this show, why do you think that there are so many variations of all of these kinds of foods that seem so simple, but in fact, they can taste totally different no matter where you are?
it really shows you that we're all making the sort of the same thing. And what changes that are cultural beliefs, cultural biases. And there's no universal truth about any food. Because we have so many beliefs and we have so many cultural truths, you're going to have that variation in food, not just with ingredients. I mean, fried chicken is probably cooked the world around, but all over, but it's a specific story for each person.
Beautiful. Yeah, that's the way we eat hot chicken. Pinch it. That way you don't get pepper on your fingers.
That is brilliant. So delicious.
It is delicious, but it hurts.
But we do it anyway.
You're okay over there?
You know what I've learned too with this bread? It takes some of the heat away.
I'm gonna help you out.
Right when you register it's delicious, you're like, oh, you're in a battle for your life.
It gives you that rush. It makes you want more.
And I'm loving life right now.
A lot of history, a lot of cultural information in this show as well, even though you're talking about food.
What better way to represent history and culture than through food? And fried chicken is a perfect example of just how dense a subject can be. One of the reasons it's dense is rarely do people want to talk about the terrible hardships that fried chicken was born out of. And then presenting questions like, should you even talk about it? Should you even know the history of fried chicken to enjoy fried chicken? Because fried chicken in and of itself is delicious. And these are some of the conversations we're trying to have.
How long does it take you to put together one of these episodes, given how far you have to travel to do so?
I mean, the shooting part, I wouldn't say it's easy, but in terms of putting it together, I have very little to nothing to do with it. This is really the magic and craftsman genius of Morgan Neville and the whole team at Tremolo, of Eddie Schmidt, Jason Zeldis, and Caitlin Rogers. There's just many, many people that work incredibly hard to make this into a cohesive story. If it was just me, and it would not make any sense.
Well, when it comes to you, though, do you miss being in the kitchen when you're doing a show like this, when you're putting together a documentary?
Certainly, not being in a kitchen, but I've been sort of stepping out of the kitchen for quite some time now, even though I'm stepping back in it right now with the new restaurant. But the reality is this show and being able to travel was the catalyst for many new ideas. Not that you are inspired by it, but just the mere fact of tasting, going and traveling is an awakening moment. And you begin to think about food in different ways. Meeting different kinds of chefs and their perspectives, it opens your eyes and increases your empathy. That, I think, makes you a much better cook.
Your new restaurant is in Los Angeles, correct?
Yes.
So you've now got this empire of restaurants, New York and D.C., Vegas, L.A., Sydney, Toronto. How much bigger do you want to get?
I think that's a really hard question I have, because it's not like it makes anything easier. I think we're going to get bigger till we can be the best company that takes care of our people, makes the best food possible, and takes care of our farmers and purveyors, which sounds like a boilerplate statement, but it's really the truth. I don't think there's any reason to grow a restaurant business, except that it's a way to take care of a lot of people that might not be able to get jobs somewhere else, or actually love the fact that they get to work with food. And there's no reason why we can't grow and be the best company that be able to provide the best services to our employees as well. So, we opened up in 2004, it's 2004, 14 years later. And, it's not the fact that I'm growing, but many of the employees that have been with us 10 to 14 years, they've grown, they have families and they have mouths to feed. And that growth is really trying to take care of other people.
Is it hard to maintain quality when you're not right there in the kitchen in each of these restaurants all the time?
It's incredibly hard, even if you're there in the restaurants all the time. But it's a testament to the fact that we have tremendously great men and women, all our restaurants, doing great work. And I get too much credit for their work. And time again, I say, like, I have very little to do with something like at Momofuku Co. That's all Sean Gray right now and Suwang Ruiz. We have people that are great, and we give them opportunity to express themselves, to make mistakes, to learn from those mistakes, and to give them enough autonomy where they can grow it themselves as well.
David Chang, what was your favorite thing that you ate in the making of this show?
That's pretty easy. Well, I'll say domestically, it was the crawfish and noodles in Houston, eating Viet Cajun crawfish, which is a tremendous modern day fusion that's happening before our very eyes, where it's a merger of Vietnamese flavors and Cajun, which are very similar, believe it or not. And internationally, I would have to say it's the real deal Peking duck in Beijing, cooked over jujube wood, that's processed in a very special way that produces the most fabulous duck skin and juicy, juicy meat. That's a dish that I would travel to China just to eat. I really would. It's that good.
Where did you get it in Beijing?
I can't pronounce the name, so I won't. But the one that I have always liked is a place called Dadong, and that's obviously a massive chain. They just opened up in New York.
Right.
But the ones in, I mean, if you're going to serve Peking duck in China, it's got to be the real deal, because it's just one of these things that people crave.
That's David Chang, whose new Netflix show is called Ugly Delicious. It drops tomorrow. David Chang, thank you so much for joining us.
Really, really appreciate the opportunity to be here. Thank you so much.
And by the way, I was just in Beijing and went to Dadong for the Peking duck. It was delicious. David is right. You can see photos on my Twitter feed at Jeremy Hobson.